Imagine you are a 14-year-old girl getting ready to have a sleepover with your best friend at your house. It is a Sunday night because you don't have school on Monday.
Oh, really? You don't have school on Monday.
No. See,
Why?
because this particular place or did not have as much snow during the season, so they didn't use up their snow days. So it was a built-in snow day that was never used for them to have a day off.
Yes, rural areas are like that. I grew up in a rural area. So, yes, that definitely happens sometimes when you don't have as much snow because they have to set out those days because they don't have plows like they do in certain states. So, these rural areas, they have to just set out those certain days and say, okay, well, this many days are going to go to snow days. But then if you don't use them, then you just get extra days off of school, which was great. I loved when that happened.
Yes, so you decide that you guys are going to have a movie night and pizza, and you're going to stay up. Your older sister kind of joins in a little bit during that night. You stay up late that night. You're being goofy.
Of course.
You're posting videos of yourself on Snapchat, just
Oh,
being
yes.
silly. You're teenagers. That's what you do.
So what time do you guys get up the next day?
Well, you decide to sleep in.
Oh,
You
yes.
decide to sleep in. It's 10 a.m. Your dad leaves for a job. He's into photography and he had a job to do. So before he left, he cooked you and your best friend some pancakes. So you woke up to some good hearty breakfast. And then your grandmother, Becky, she ends up asking you to file some work for her, and she's willing to pay you some money for it. So you're a teenager. You're not going to turn that down. You're going
No
to,
way.
right? You're going to take that. So you help her out, and by 1 o'clock, you and your best friend decide that you don't want to stay in the house all day.
Good. Yes, you guys should get out. You have the day off of school. You're teenagers. Yes.
Yeah, enjoy the outdoors. So you ask Grandma Becky, because she's the one at the house watching y'all, if you can go to the Monohai Bridge Trail.
Okay.
But Grandma Becky says only if you can find a ride.
So who do you call?
You end up calling your big sissy Kelsey.
Aww.
And Kelsey tells you that you are she's willing to give you a ride. However, she can't pick you up to at the end. So she
Oh
can be your ride
no.
there, but she can't pick you up from
You
there.
have to find a ride home.
So the first thing you decide to do is call your dad, Derek,
Okay.
and you ask him, "Can you give us a ride back? We're going to this trail. Is it okay if you come and get us?" And he says, "Yeah, I have about 2 hours left, so I will call or text you before I'm on my way or when I get close, so that you can
Okay.
get to the parking area from the trail, and that way we are able to meet up at the end of the trail
Right.
or at the
Okay.
entrance. I can't remember." But then at around 1:30 that day, mind you, it is still Monday, February 13th, 2017,
Okay.
your big sister picks you up from your house and takes you to the trail. She drops you off at the entrance of the High Bridge Trail in an unofficial parking area.
Oh, because you are familiar with the area, so you know different places that you can kind of pull off and hop on the trails.
Right.
Okay.
So from 1:30 p.m. to about 2:05 p.m., you're walking on the trail doing whatever. But at 2:05, you upload a picture of the bridge.
Okay. Pretty typical of a teenager posting.
Yeah, you're taking a picture of where you're at. You're uploading it. And mind you, you're using Snapchat because it's the favorite and well used.
Of course.
Uh-huh. Even us adults like it.
Right. Shoot, we use it every day.
Yep. So you, around 2:07, so 2 minutes later, you post a picture of your best friend walking that same bridge.
Aww.
And that is the last time that you are ever seen alive.
What happened to you?
Yeah, what happened to you? How did you die? Only a select few know, and one of them is your killer. Your name is Liberty German, and your best friend is Abigail Williams.
Hi, I'm Natasha.
And I'm Jules.
And you're listening to
Crime with My Person. Killer case that anybody and almost everybody knows about. But one of the most important things that we hear about is the timeline of the last picture that they posted on Snapchat. And when everything started as far as searching and all of that.
Oh, like when her family noticed that, or like when their families noticed they were missing.
Yes. So Derek, who is Libby's dad, called her phone because he was trying to tell her that he was close. He was getting close.
Oh, yeah, because he said that he was going to do that when she asked him for a ride home.
Right. That was around 3:11 is when 3:11 p.m. is when he called her phone. And it is very less likely that she would ever, like, not answer the phone.
Right, right. And she knew that he was going to be calling. So, I mean, she should have known. Like, okay, he's calling. Of course, he told me he's close. That means he's close. I mean, so why wouldn't she answer the phone?
Right. And she knows that she is expecting a call from him. So there's no way that she's just going to not answer.
Right.
Especially since he is their ride. Why would they want to be stuck out there in the trail
exactly.
at night? So he pulls in at the place at the parking lot 3:14 p.m. Mind you, it's not at the same spot that they were dropped off at. It's another side of the area.
Okay, I was gonna ask that.
Begins to start walking when he realizes she is not answering his phone. So he goes walking and he starts to go look for her and Abby himself. And runs into this guy who we've never known his name, but he's labeled as the flannel shirt guy because he was wearing a flannel shirt. He asked if he had seen these two girls, and the flannel shirt guy was like, no, but there's a couple out on the bridge. We don't know what bridge he was talking about. But at 4 p.m., Derek returns to the car. So he'd already been out there for about 45 minutes walking around and he hadn't found them and they're still not answering his calls. So he gets concerned and starts calling everybody. His wife, Grandma Becky, that we spoke about in our story, her husband, Grandpa Mike,
right?
The older sister, Kelsey, Uncle Cody, Libby's Uncle Cody, they all were out there looking because they thought maybe these girls got hurt. Maybe they broke their phone. They're fallen. You know, they're not answering. It's not natural for them. So
out of character.
Thank you. Well, at 5:20 p.m., their concern is heightened, and they end up calling the police that day. So we're on February 13th, 2017. by 6 p.m. there is a mass search. So it was a quick timeline, like just really quick. 6 p.m. everybody's out there. It's a small town. Everybody's, right, you know, working together, trying to find them. At 12 a.m. they call off the search because it's midnight. It's dark. Right. We're not having any luck. We're not getting anywhere. Just call it off, which concerns me. And I'll talk about that later on. But at 4:32 a.m., people were getting up on February 14th, 2017, getting up really, really early before the sun even rose and started searching themselves. And that is when, at 11:26 a.m. that day, they made an announcement for people to avoid the scene of when the girls were last seen, because they don't want the dogs to lose scent of them.
Right. Okay. Understandable.
But then at 2 p.m. that day, they get on the press conference, on a press conference, and announce that two bodies were found. Now, they're not identifying them. They're just announcing two bodies were found. I'm not sure. I didn't look this up, but I'm not sure if they called off the search. Or if they just, yeah, I think they did after they.
I believe that it just was kind of taken back as far as the amount of people and the amount of focus that was involved in a search.
Yeah.
I believe that I read that because the next day is when they confirmed officially that the bodies did belong to Abby and Libby. So it was the very next day, February 15th. So that's why I believe they scaled back the search on the 14th after they found the bodies, because they probably knew that without a doubt these are the girls, but they have to be officially and legally sure before, yeah, they can release that information and notify next of kin first, of course, as we know that.
Correct.
But so that was just the next day, and they identified the bodies, and they actually did the autopsies of the girls in Terre Haute, Indiana, which is where I went to college.
Oh,
so that was crazy to learn that. Yeah, I was like, wow, okay, this is interesting. So, but yeah, so they did the autopsies there, but they've been pretty tight-lipped on the information, as we already know, and we'll talk about that later too. But I mean, after that, as we know, not many things have happened. I mean, as soon as they found the bodies, identified them, hundreds of people joined the investigation to help out. They were collecting evidence. Tips were rolling in. They even offered reward money that was given by anonymous donors, people, the community. Everyone came together just to try to help find who murdered these girls. So, I mean, as we know, not too many things have happened. Not too many leads have taken place afterwards. I mean, the FBI took over shortly thereafter, but still, I mean, there hasn't been any very, very clear and, I guess, effective leads that have taken place throughout the years. I mean, lots of different things happened within the community for them to honor the girls, but as far as getting closer to who actually killed them, they're not any closer, unfortunately. I mean, we know that.
So why do you think that they're tight squeeze on it so hard?
I mean, I feel that it's a small town. And so they said at the very beginning that they may have already interviewed the suspect. Someone who may have already said his name or her name. I believe it's a man, but you never know. And so I think that's why they're so tight-lipped, because they don't want to tip off the killer. And they want to withhold all the information they can, so when someone comes forward with any information, especially only information that the killer would know, it's more, yeah, believable. And that's more evidence that they would have against the person who came forward, or who, a witness who came forward with that information. So, depending. But yeah. Anyway, yeah. So, I mean, like, throughout the years, we know that, like, the family's spoken to the news a few times, and the police and the FBI have come forward every couple years, just kind of reevaluating the case and speaking about it to create more awareness. But I mean, how many years have went by? I mean, it's been 2017 and we're just about to come up on the 5th year anniversary of their death.
The oldest sister, Kelsey, actually is a very, very strong advocate for this whole case. She's spoken on her sister and her sister's friend multiple times. She's even got a social media, I think TikTok and Facebook and all that stuff. She just, you know, and she's always on the news. I mean, she does do interviews for them.
Definitely. Yeah. I've heard some of her interviews. I've looked at her social media. She's highly involved with just creating more awareness, missing children and, you know,
yeah, not just Liberty, not just right. Liberty and Abby. Yeah.
Yeah. Not just with her sister and her sister's friend, but she's just taking that up to really advocate for any missing child or any person in danger for that matter. I've seen her share stories about like abusive relationships and just different people being hurt. And so she just seems like a very caring person that just wants to help change the world for the better. And I really, really think that her doing that helps keep things alive in the case as far as people still remembering and watching out and listening and us even talking about it. So I mean, I can't imagine losing.
And that's part of the reason why we decided to choose this case to discuss. There's multiple suspects that were named in this, and there was a lot of rumors going on as well.
There were so many. One article I read, the police were talking about this person, whoever they were talking about in the article, was one of a dozen people that they've interviewed. I mean, dozens of people that they've interviewed. And there was one person, actually, his name is Daniel Nations. It is public information that he is still considered a suspect, even though now they aren't really as focused on him. However, they won't clear him. They won't say that he is no longer a suspect anymore. But he actually has ties to Colorado as well,
which is where we are. If you followed this case strongly or at all, there was two sketches involved and a video as well. Do you know when those were released?
Oh, yes. So they had actually like released audio very, very early on in 2017 in February, towards the end of February. But there's also more that they released in 2019 and in April. There was another sketch released. There was more audio. There was more video released. That second sketch really like turned things because it looked completely different than the first one.
So it was like starting all over. Like they were on square one.
Totally different features, totally different people. Does not look alike at all. No similar features whatsoever. So it's like there were new witnesses or they decided that it was time to release it because they don't have any new leads after 2 years, maybe. Maybe that is why they decided, okay, it's time to release more information. Maybe that'll generate more leads because they had thousands and thousands and thousands of tips. The rewards, like over $325,000. I mean, they're doing everything they can to generate some actual leads that generate some information. I mean, gosh, it's been 5 years. Really, the family still remains hopeful, but I just don't understand how after so long, there's not any more clear-cut leads. Because with Daniel Nations, I feel that if he was the person, they already have his DNA, yep. I would assume, for various crimes that he committed previously. And so they have DNA from the girls that they were trying to identify that I don't believe they ever did. So they would have been able to test it against his.
Yeah.
So that's one suspect that they won't take off their list, but I feel should be crossed off their list. And maybe that's why they're not focused on him. But they don't want to alert to the killer. Again, maybe that's why they're not saying, oh, you're not a suspect anymore. But he's not the only one. We know that there have been a few other suspects that have been named.
Actually, I think everybody would be active regardless until they actually found the real guy, because if you're just, if they're doubting themselves for one person, I mean, they're going to keep them active. They're just not going to focus too much on it if they don't need to, if they've got some other type of lead that's stronger, you know?
Most definitely. I agree with that. And this other person I felt could be a good lead. His name is Keegan Klein. And what's insane is that in 2020, he was arrested and he's actually in jail because he had some disturbing images and videos on his computer of underage minors and very explicit, to where these are like 30 felonies that he was convicted of. So this is horrible things, I can only imagine. And so what's crazy about him is that just recently in December, they released some new information about the Delphi murder case, that there was this social media profile with the handle of Anthony_shots. And that profile was actually created by Keegan Klein.
And so Keegan Klein, actually, his middle name is Anthony. I did realize that. I do feel sorry for the man that he used as a picture, the catfish picture.
The person, the real person in the pictures. It is horrible that he did catfish. And I will say that he does look like the second sketch.
Which is funny because the previous, like Daniel Nations, and then there was another guy named James Brian Chadwell, which I believe you were getting ready to get to. Those two look like the first sketch.
Right. Yeah. Daniel Nations and James Brian Chadwell both look like the first sketch, even though James and excuse me, and Daniel don't look alike, but they have some of these features that kind of fit with the first sketch. So it's insane how so many people can fit, but they get ruled out. So you're back to square one.
Right. It's too much. Well, I do want to say the guy that he used as catfish, I know it has nothing to do with the case. He actually is a police officer out in Alaska. And I think he has mentioned that he, because his face is dragged into this homicide and he cares so much about, who doesn't care about little kids, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, they were only 13 and 14 years old. So he wants to be the one to arrest the guy himself, you know? You used my face on this.
I read that, if
that's the case, yeah.
Yeah, he said he wanted to put the handcuffs on the man himself when they caught him.
Yes.
I was so happy to read that. Like, what a genuine guy. And because he said that, you know, he's been aware of people using his picture
since 2014. Mm-hmm.
So he's already aware of that. But to know that this could be linked to a murder of two innocent girls, that has to be hard to handle, because that's your face.
Yeah.
That's your face. So you're, like, they feel like in their minds, in the girls' minds, you're the last person they talk to.
Well, that, and yeah. And then when you Google Delphi murders, his face pops up.
So he's associated with it. And he is just like one of the most innocent bystanders in this case, like a casualty, just a straight consequence of this murder. Like,
other than the victims. Yeah,
exactly. And so I understand why the police hold information back. I mean, it's a tactic that we've learned and we've seen over the years that they do, to hold information so when someone does come forward with something, they know whether they're going to believe them or not. Because, you know, different cases where people will confess, or their tip line is so rampant that they have to do things in order.
Yeah, you get
to
those weirdos who want that credit.
Right. Exactly. So they have those specific details. So when someone calls in and says whatever, they can say, okay, thank you for the information, or whatever they say. But then they're going to know, okay, this doesn't fit with what we already know.
Right.
So I feel like I agree. That could be another reason why they do that. But also just so they don't alert the killer, because maybe they're close. Maybe it's someone that Keegan Klein was working with. Maybe he wasn't working alone, because a lot of times in that child pornography world, it's a ring, a group of people.
Yeah.
And they help each other, look out for each other, and do whatever to keep that going. So it could be someone he knew, worked with. But I want to know how the account is linked to the murders. Were the girls talking on this account? It seemed like that they were talking to this person, just based off interviews that I've seen with.
Well, and didn't the police actually come out with a video asking for information? It's literally it's a whole video of them explaining
who it is and the fake account and what this person did. I did see that, and they were asking for anyone who's had any communication or any association with that.
They got over 500 calls from that. Yeah.
So I just want to know if they saw something on one of the girls' phones, because the sister was pretty shocked when she learned that information. But I feel that they have to have something to even put that into their minds that they were even communicating with this social media account. I'm sure they saw something. They had
Right.
Because they're not just going to come up with this Anthony Schatz profile on their own from another case that they were working and say, oh, maybe they're connected, because that's what they were doing with James Brian Chadwell. Like, oh, maybe he's connected because he was actually caught harming a child.
He was caught red-handed.
In the act when the police knocked on his door. So they were, oh, maybe he's a suspect, but he's not. And this other man who hurt this 26-year-old, he was a suspect. He killed himself, but he's not. I don't feel that he's the killer either.
I don't, just because his victim was not only way older, but he let her go.
He let her go.
And if you're willing to kill a child, if you're willing to kill a child, you shouldn't have a problem to kill anybody else. I mean, the child is the most innocent thing in the world. So he let her go. And I just don't know.
Right. Yeah, I don't agree with that either. And I don't know why he would have even been considered a suspect. Maybe just because, I mean, it's Indiana. A lot of those places are tiny, or even the county is small too. Like, I mean, I lived in a town like Delphi. It was like 2,500 people. Everyone knew everyone, or you knew someone who knew that person. You were all connected somehow.
Right.
If I didn't know you, I knew your mom, I knew your cousin, I knew your uncle, I knew your friend, like somebody. I'm connected to you somehow, some way. It's a small town. So that's why it's hard to believe that there weren't any leads, that they don't know who killed these girls, because you're in this really small town and you're in this wooded area. Because even in the town that I'm from, there is a state park, Shakamak State Park, and there's lots of trails, very wooded. People go fishing, boating, all types of things. But I feel that you have to be aware of those certain locations within the park, because where they were found, it was private property. And they even went and searched the man's property, the man's house who owns that area. I mean, that, of course, that's just normal procedure, just to make sure, okay, maybe there's something else. He had nothing to do with it. He wasn't arrested. He wasn't named a suspect, nothing at all.
People were actually visiting that area frequently, so they had to cut all of that off. I'm not sure why. I mean, I'm obsessed with true crime, but I definitely don't want to go to a body dump site for little girls. I'm sorry.
Right. I don't either. And I feel that, like, we would just do like a drive-by and point, like, oh my gosh, that's the area. You know, like, I wouldn't want to stop, especially knowing that it's private property. It's someone's place where they live. Can you imagine? Like, you live there, you have your house, and then you have acres or however big your property is, and like the police knock on your door and like, hey, we just found two dead girls, what's up? Like, you're like, what?
Yeah, I'd be in shock.
Like, and this is like little tiny Indiana town, and you're like, oh my gosh, what? Really? And I know nowadays some people don't talk to each other, neighbors and stuff like that. And sometimes you don't even know who lives across the street. But I would be freaked out to know that someone dumped two bodies on my property.
Right. Right.
Because I would be forever associated just like the innocent officer who is the real guy in the pictures of the catfish. I mean.
Yeah, I agree.
All these innocent people that are associated with this, and they did nothing wrong. And these poor girls did nothing wrong at all. And I just don't understand why someone decided on them.
It just, it freaks me out to know that this person, whoever did it, knows that podcasts and documentaries and news and all of that is being done. And I just have this weird, like, is he watching us? Is he listening? Is he laughing at us? I mean, does he really think this is funny? Does he care at all? No, because honestly, he does not have a heart if he's willing to kill two little girls.
True.
Have a perspective I wanted to discuss a little bit. I have this weird thing. I was going through my timeline, talking to you guys, listeners, about my timeline, and I just had this thought kind of pop in my head. See, at 6 p.m. there was that mass search that began, but at 12 a.m. the search was called off and they didn't start back up until the next morning. The problem that I have is I don't know what the area is like. I don't know if they checked everywhere or if they did one of those line searches where you hold hands or stand next to each other with a certain amount of distance between each other and walking through. But I always had this weird perspective that the bodies were not even there at night.
Ooh, like they were,
like they were dumped the next day. Yeah.
I mean, they did say that footprints led them to the bodies.
Okay. But it was nighttime when they were searching prior. So
I just don't know, because it's not, if it wasn't raining and it wasn't snowy, because it was okay weather. I mean, based on the pictures, it was very dry and just seemed cold. So for me, I think that if the bodies were put there, they would be able to tell that. And maybe they were, and they're not sharing that.
Yeah.
That's because true. Maybe they want people to think that the girls were killed there. Which, okay, so I've always been interested and curious about the down the hill. Down the hill, down the hill, guys down the hill. So I was wondering, because Keegan wasn't in jail yet. And I know it may not be him. And but just hang out with me. He was in Indiana at the time. Okay. And so what I'm thinking is, one theory could be that if they were talking to the Anthony Schatz account, that's a very good looking person. And if he's like talking to these girls, like, oh, I think you guys are so cute. Oh, let's meet up. Blah, blah, blah. And they say, hey, we don't have school tomorrow. Maybe we can meet up if we go hiking. We're going to be at this trail. So they go and they meet, and like, okay. And they have their phones. Maybe they're on Snapchat posting, showing him where they are, but still being discreet because they don't want anyone to know that they've been talking to him. And so maybe they're, you know, oh, we're having fun. Oh, but, you know, secretly, oh, this is where we are. We're showing him this is where we are on the trail. Come find us. I don't know, who knows? But then Keegan comes up to them and maybe he pretends to be Anthony's like friend or brother or whatever. And he's like, oh, hey, oh, are you Abby and Libby? Anthony's looking for you. Come on, guys. He's down the hill or something. I don't know. I was just wondering, like,
boom.
Because like, if the current concept is that from the video, they think that this guy told them to go down the hill and they went.
Which I don't think they have to do because he's looking down trying to get across the bridge without falling. I mean, what kind of force does he have against them? I mean, if it was me, I would just run. So there's something
that he
is luring them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like your idea.
Like maybe they willingly go, or just popped in my head, maybe this guy has nothing to do with it. Maybe there was a snake and he's like, oh, guys, like, watch out for that snake, guys, down the hill. And he goes on about his business. And maybe that's why he's never come forward. He's like, my face is fucking everywhere. and I am going to stay inside. No, maybe not. I don't know. But there's just so many theories because they're so tight-lipped. We have no idea what happened.
We're all coming up with our own perspective theories, you know, and it's a mystery. It's a blown out mystery. Seriously. Straight up. One of the biggest mysteries ever. And we'll never know until they catch the guy and make that announcement. I mean, I don't want to know how they were killed just because, you know, maybe the family doesn't want that out there in the public. Right. But I just want, you know, what was down the hill? What was down the hill? That's all.
I want to know how I really don't want to know exactly how they were killed either with all those details, but I do want to know their cause of death. And I'm very interested in knowing how they got down to where they were, if they were killed there.
Were they tortured? Did they die immediately? Oh, gosh, did they suffer? Like,
how though? If this guy is the guy who killed them, the one in the video, the first sketch, or even the second, depending on whatever sketch you want to go with, but the person in the video, in the picture, if that is the person who killed them, where are his weapons? I know he has a puffy jacket on. Does he have a gun in there?
He looks like he had his hands in his pocket.
Right. But I mean, what kind of weapon does he have that he can take down two people?
Because can I tell you something? I was actually looking at the video because sometimes they there's some YouTube channels and stuff that like to
enhance,
contrast it and enhance. And I was watching it. It almost looks like he's wearing, you know how they have him wearing like in his sketch a hat.
Yeah.
Like a golfer hat or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It almost looks like one of those winter hats, which covers, you know, kind of hangs down over his ears.
Yes.
Because that's what I always thought. Like the one where the fuzz is like coming down over your forehead.
I have one of those. Yeah.
That's what it looks like to me. That's what it looks like to me. Like he's wearing that. That's not his shape of his head.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I don't know.
Interesting. And maybe he's wearing puffy clothes to make himself look bigger than what he is.
Maybe, yeah. But if he is the Keegan guy, I will say Keegan's gained a lot of weight since then.
Yeah. Yeah. Because seeing his picture recently, he looks like the second sketch. But the man in the video, to me, looks more like the first sketch.
Okay.
But that's my opinion. And I don't have the enhancement equipment that people have. I wasn't there. I wasn't on a trail. I didn't give a composite sketch description. So I can't say one way or the other. Just my opinion is that I think that he looks like the first sketch. And I don't know. I mean, Keegan does look like the second sketch. He was in Indiana at the time. They can prove that he was there. However, I want to know about the DNA that they say that they have that they were trying to test and identify, because have they connected it to someone and they're just not telling us?
Well,
and
you
if they have, why? Well, not.
They had a blackout on this case. They got
That's true. They did. They did have that. Oh my gosh. Yes. I mean,
could you imagine being the family members? Oh, we think we have a suspect. Oh, never mind. Oh, we think we have a suspect. Oh, never mind. My hope roller coaster would be going up and down and up.
Yeah.
And that's just too stressful for me and my family. You know what I mean? Like,
I know. Yeah. Cause
somebody's going to end up with a heart attack. Like,
I know the blackout was like, it was a while ago, but I mean, it was like last year, I think July, but then in the December, they gave us that information about Anthony Schott. So it was, yeah, the back and forth thing, I'm sure, was hard on everybody. But one good thing that I thought was very touching is that they did honor them with a park in the community. That was in October of last year. So they dedicated a park to Abby and Libby, which I would hope kind of brings a little bit of positivity to the community, just to have something to remember them by and just to continue to create that awareness for them.
It's really sad to see little, it's not going to be the first and last park that we're going to see in a little child's name. I mean, out here in Colorado, we have Jessica Ridgeway.
Right.
And they named the park that she was found in after her. So,
right.
But yeah, it's a sad situation. And I just can't wait till this is all over. I can't imagine what the family is going through.
Do you think this could be, just to throw it out there, a traveling serial killer?
I never thought of it like that. But
because if they are,
like you said, but like you said, they really need to know what they're doing back there.
I do say that, and I do think that. I think logically I would think that you have to be familiar with the area based on where they were found. However, I was thinking there's also a possibility, because you can't put anything past anyone, that if you have like a truck driver, or if you have someone with those tendencies, they are pretty keen on finding locations.
It's like opportunity. It's
the opportunity, yes.
Yeah. If it's there, they'll take it.
To prey onto the opportunity and just snatch it. Mm-hmm. And so maybe someone was like, oh, you know what? I'm just like out for a stroll today. Let me see whatever. And then they like, hey, you know what?
Oh, look, there's two girls. Today. Yep.
And then like, oh, wow, this is a wooded area. Oh, my gosh, let me go down here a little bit. Oh, my gosh, I like no one's going to find them here. Or I don't care if someone finds them here, you know, because it seems like, I was just thinking, I know we're going to wrap this up soon, but the where they were placed, like they were able to find them within a day.
Yeah, they weren't covered up. They weren't keeping it a secret. It's almost like they just didn't care.
Yeah,
maybe they wanted to get caught and it failed,
or they were startled.
Ooh, yeah, I didn't
maybe
even.
They were startled by
the owner of the property,
the owner of the property, anyone else who the couple that was on the trail that were never identified. I don't believe that I've ever read about.
I think they were by the police, but they didn't identify them out in public.
Yeah, publicly. Okay, but I mean, just so many theories, just what we even talked about. I mean, you just can't pinpoint it down because there's so many different things that we don't know that we're just filling in the gaps.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I just want to say that my thoughts and prayers are with the family and everything that they are going through. I mean, this is the longest heartbreak that I have seen. I can't imagine having it string along the way it has. And I hope that we are able to come on here and give you an update of closure eventually.
I do too. I do. I hope so too. Being from a small town in Indiana myself, it's just very hard to see that a community so close and so little like one I grew up in is really just affected and have not had the closure they deserve. So we pray for that. We search for that, and we will definitely be keeping an eye on any new developments. And if we do come across any, we are definitely going to make a part two, because these girls deserve justice and we are going to follow them until they do.
And their case deserves to be heard.
That's right.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.
Until next time.
If you have any information in regards to the murders of Abigail Williams and Liberty German, please call 844-459-5786, or you may email Abby and Libby Tip at cacoshrf.com.